The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise God. Let us get right into our study this morning. I've been talking about spiritual warfare, and of course, the first part of this is the origin of our enemy. And we've talked about the origin of Satan and how he was a cherub, and he was beautiful, he was musical. There's many attributes that we were able to obtain from the Scripture about him. But the reality is we have an enemy, and that's the thing that we're going to eventually focus on. But I do want to share these things with you, the theories about not where Satan comes from, we pretty much know that, but the theories of demons, because there are some theories that you need to understand, because it's just a matter of being educated in these theories. When I was coming up in the church, the only thing that I knew was that the fallen angels were the demons. Well, there's a lot of other theories about that. That's not necessarily the right one. And these, again, are just theories, and I'm just throwing these things out to you so you can be educated about it. I like for Bethel Worship Center, if somebody says something to you about the gap theory, I know what that is. You know, I like for you to be, I'm not telling you have to believe that, because these are just theories. But for some of them, there's some possible scriptural basis. But the most important thing is for us to understand that we are in a battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenly realms. Wow. Spiritual forces, supernatural forces. It's time for the church to get serious about this war that we are in. We've patty caked for too long with the enemy. We have to recognize that he wants to still kill and destroy all people. You can't pacify him. You have to be on guard against him and do battle with him based on the Word of God and the weapons that we have. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Woo! I know that most of you don't get excited about that, but I do. I think Otis and Ivy, there was a couple people back here, they're getting excited about it. This is powerful stuff. As we get into this study, we're going to find out just how serious this is for us to know who we are and to know how to do battle against this enemy. The legends told about Satan and his enemy, his demons, having a Christmas party. As they were getting ready to, the demons were getting ready to leave, one of them grinned and said, "Merry Christmas, sir." Satan growled back at him. He says, "We must keep it merry. If they ever get serious about it, we'll all be in trouble." And that's a fact in the body of Christ. If we ever get serious about what the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and then what he did on the cross for us, the enemy's in trouble. It's time for the sleeping giant we call the church to rise up, to move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. To take the territory that the enemy has taken from us. To take it back. Repossess the land. Amen? When I was a teenager, back in the 90s, I'm waiting for that to sink in. I was just kidding. 70s. Early 70s. Or mid 70s. So this has been about 40 years ago. The movie Exorcist come out. How many of you remember that movie? Okay. How many of you saw it? A lot of us did, yeah. I went to see it. I kind of wish I hadn't, but I did. Because those images are still in my mind. But it really it seemed to energize our whole society and inform people about the possibility of possession. You know, that the enemy could really possess people, because there were stories behind it, and that it's based, has a little bit of basis in reality. But the truth is, we are now in a world that the enemy is running rampant. So it's time for us to recognize that we have a battle. We're going to stand. We're going to, the weapons, these weapons that we have, we can put on our armor, the helmet, the breastplate, shod our feet, the word of God, which is our sword. And we can go into battle and we can stand. The word of God says, stand therefore. Stand. Now that's not standing passively. That's a military stance with your weapon ready to do battle. And if we understand who we are in Christ, step up here, Brother Otis. Turn around. This is how we do battle. Back to back. The enemy can't get to your back, and the enemy can't get to my back, because we are standing together. Amen. Amen. And that's how the enemy wins so often. He divides and conquers. And when he can divide and conquer, he can divide a church. When he divides individuals, he divides a whole congregation. Congregations and communities and nations are divided. My goodness, we can look at a nation right now that we live in, how divided we are. Not only is our nation divided, but even our political parties, the Democrat and the Republican parties, are divided within themselves. Crazy stuff's going on in this world because the enemy is running rampant. All right, now I need to go ahead and move on with this, because I want to share some things with you. First of all, we talked about the gap theory. Genesis 1, 2, demons, the gap theory is basically that Genesis 1, between 1 and 2, there's a gap there, there's a time period, there was a pre-Adamic race, and those are the spirits of that pre-Adamic race are the demons. Do what you want with that. Study it, find out. That's one of the theories. Evil human theory. All evil humans who have passed from this life into the next are demons. Some of them probably are, but or at least they acted like it when they were walking the face of the earth. But I'm not so sure about that one. You can check that one out too. They do seem to be disembodied spirits. In Matthew 12:43, when an unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. In order to fulfill the lusts of their lustful desires, they have to have a body to do it. So that's why they're going about trying to possess people. By the way, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you know that you are covered by the blood, don't sweat this. Okay. Yeah. Amen. We have nothing to fear. The fallen angel theory, that the demons that came, or the angels that fell with Satan, Revelation tells us that he swept a third of the angels out of heaven and came to and was thrown down to earth. That is that those fallen angels are the demons. In fact, Luke 10:18, Jesus said, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus was saying, I was there when this happened. I was there when Satan rebelled. I was there when the demonic forces or the fallen angels were thrown out of heaven. Okay, and this last one that I've been developing is one that I lean toward. And as your pastor, I'm going to force everybody to agree with this. You got to sign it. Nah, come on. It's just a theory. I like it because it does explain some things to me, within me. Genesis 6:4. We will get to that, but it talks about something called Nephilim. And this theory is that the Nephilim spirits are the demonic forces. Now, we looked at cherub, which Satan is a covering cherub, and they are Satan himself was a light bearer of God, so he was in the presence of God. They are winged creatures, and we know that because there's a depiction of them over the Ark of the Covenant, wings over protecting the Ark, and that was their job. Seraphim, Isaiah 6:2, they had six wings. Actually, seraph means serpent-like. So these are some strange-looking creatures with six wings, but they are in heaven with God. God created them. And then, of course, I mentioned regular angels, if there is such a thing as regular angels. Daniel 4:23, and inasmuch as the king was a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven and saying. So he was basically saying that this watcher or this being came down out of heaven. And watcher is Aramaic. It means watchful, wakeful one, angel. As we studied, as we went through this, listen, if you want to catch up on all this, you just go to our podcast on our website and you can get these messages. Angels are created with spiritual bodies. They move from the watcher seem to be moving from dimension of heaven or where God is into the earthly dimension. We know that they always appear as humans because I showed you various scriptures, but Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, Genesis 6:4, there were giants. My King James, or New King James, says the proper rendering of that word there is Nephilim, on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Sons of God. The Hebrew is Benin Adahim. The fallen angels may possibly be the source of these Nephilim. According to I.D.E. Thomas, who was a biblical scholar, a teacher, a very wise man, he wrote several books. One of his books was The Omega Conspiracy. In this book, he explains that for 400 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church taught that the benign Elohim were angels, sons of God. And then suddenly, after that period of time, the church decided that that was too incredible of a teaching, so they changed their teaching to the sons of God as being the sons of Seth, good men marrying the daughters of Cain, evil women. I don't know how that produced Nephilim, but that's the teaching. And that's what most churches teach these days. But for 400 years, the church knew no other teaching but Bena Elohim, were angels or sons of God, created by God. Now, if we take just a little bit of time to look at some scripture, in Job chapter 1, verse 6, we see that it says that the sons of God came and presented themselves in front of God. Satan was there as well. Now, we know Satan's name was Lucifer, is now Satan. Lucifer means light bearer. Satan means adversary. He is now the adversary of mankind, the adversary of God. In Job 1:6, it says also the same thing. Sons of God, angels. And it's very important that we understand that what we're looking at are some supernatural beings. Although they presented themselves here on the face of the earth as men, they were supernatural in their abilities, in their wisdom, in their strength, in their power, in their agility. And when they had offspring, the Word of God says in Genesis, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Although some of them were giants, The word does Nephilim does not necessarily mean giants. It means fallen or fallen ones. They had supernatural ability. In 2 Peter 2:4, it says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. We recognize that Peter was talking about something that refers us back to Genesis. Jude also talks about these particular things happening. Jude and Peter both mention and talk about angels who sinned. These angels were the ones that came down to earth. That in the book and sinned in Genesis chapter 6, 4, that sinned by taking wives and having the Nephilim. Jude mentions the things that Jude says and things that Peter says are direct quotes from a book called Enoch. Now, we do not believe the book of Enoch is a part of the canon. We don't have it in our Bible. But there is an Ethiopian Bible that has it. The Qumran scrolls, or better known as the Dead Sea Scrolls, have the book of Enoch in it. And of course, Jude and Peter both make reference to it. So my purpose of mentioning this is, the reason I say this is because it explains a little bit about Enoch and what happened. Enoch explains that these angels came down, they had relationship, 200 of them, and there were mighty men in those days. So we're not without a biblical reference to this, and we understand what happened. Now, what I want to do right now is just show you some proof of giants being on the face of the earth. Because so many people would just disregard all the things that I'm talking about. And this is going to lead us to the point where I'm just saying, this is what I believe. Then we're going to go on and we're going to talk about what it means to be a warrior for God, how we can overcome the enemy, how we can defeat him, and how... And so many other areas, but we have to understand him. And I'm just trying to give you a little bit of basic foundation before we move on. All right, let's take a look at some things. This first man that I'm going to show you, Zachariah Sitchin. I don't agree with him, but he has an incredible picture that has not yet been proven to be a fake. And he was a very, very intelligent man, a Hebrew scholar, a Greek scholar. He knew a lot of different languages. He was one of the few men who could interpret the Sumerian text, the cuneiform text. And through doing that, he came up with a theory. How many have ever heard of the ancient alien theory? You heard of that? Okay. He's kind of the guy that started all that. So, like I say, I don't agree with him, but let me show you the picture that he had and has, and no one has, to, as far as I know, been able to debunk this. There's a lot of junk out there. If you start trying to do some research, you'll find all kinds of stuff that has been, it's been touched up. There's just a lot of fake stuff out there if you try to search on the internet. But as far as I know, this one has never been debunked. That's a huge person. This next picture is a leg bone. This, in the 1950s, during a road construction in Turkey, there was bones uncovered, tomb uncovered with the remains of giants. Those bones came up missing. Nobody knows where they were. What happened to them, but it's documented that they found them. Now, somebody would say, why in the world would they try to cover this up? Why would they try to hide this? Well, first of all, you have to understand something, that when you have a system that provides income and notoriety and, you know, all kinds of things that this world has to offer, when you find something that disproves that system or that train of thought in that way of believing, those who are in control don't like it much. So they try to get those things out of the way. And what I'm talking about is a religious system that we call evolution. Now, I call it a religious system because these people believe it religiously, no matter how much proof is shown. So what has happened is down through the years, when any of these things have been found, the bones, the remains have been scarfed up and hidden. But this guy in Texas was asked to create this bone that would have been the size of the ones that was found. According to this picture, the giant or the individual that this would have fit with would have been 14 to 16 feet tall. And had 20 to 22 inch feet. Is that right? 22? Yeah. This next picture is, that's a normal thumb bone. The other one is a thumb bone of a giant. Ron White found this. He was an amateur archaeologist. He uncovered many things, including Sodom and Gomorrah, the Ark of the Covenant. He believed he found it, and when he told the authorities, he wasn't allowed to go back to it. So many things that he found. He was just driven and directed by God. But if you can see a normal thumb bone, that one is at least twice the size of a normal human thumb bone. So that guy's probably 10, 12 feet tall. This next picture is found in South Africa. It was found in 1912. Now, it's a little hard to see, but I want to tell you, the toe prints are very distinct in this. They believe that what happened was the footprint was made, and then through time, it was pushed up as the earth crust moved, and it was pushed up on the side of that. Now, some people have tried to say that was man-made, and they've proven that it is not man-made. Others who try to debunk it say that, well, it was created by erosion. If you could see a real clear picture of that, you could see the toe prints in there is absolutely a humanoid footprint. Now, I looked at this picture, I thought, man, that looks like Greg Ramey. Does that look a little like Greg Ramey? Well, this guy, he took a picture, and anybody can go visit this thing. It's real. It's there. I don't know how they can debunk it. The next one is a picture of an Irish giant. This one was found in the 1800s, 1895, and it was seen by thousands of people. They paid to see this thing. Thousands and thousands of people saw it, and then it came up missing as well. It was 12 feet 2 inches tall, and it was mummified. The next one is some tools that have been found. This is a giant artifact, just a little too large to be for normal people. It's 16 inches long, and it weighs 27 pounds. It's an axe. And you can see there's the normal size one. 27-pound axe that was found, axe head. This was found in Canada, believe it or not. They said that the handle for something that size would have had to been at least 9 to 10 feet long. This next one was found in Africa. These are also considered axe heads. I could not find a weight on that largest one, but it's about 12 inches long, 6 inches wide. I found a rock at home that was almost the same proportions. It was almost 16 pounds. It was a little smaller than that, but it was almost 16 pounds. You can see that, you know, those are not normal size. So once again, I just wanted to share these things with you because I want you to see that we have an enemy who is, whether it's actually fallen angels or it's the offspring of fallen angels or whatever theory that you want to accept, the reality is, in the Scripture, Jesus went about casting out demons. One time when Paul, now listen to me, the enemy is, he gets into church services. Do you know that? Amen. You got to understand, he's lurking around here. One of the greatest church services that happened in the first century, the Apostle Paul was preaching in Ephesus. And while he was preaching in Ephesus, suddenly there was a girl that kept following him around who had a spirit of Python. And she was crying out, "This is the man of God. You need to listen to him." Paul got sick and tired of it. He said, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And that spirit came out. Now, her owners were not happy with him. But the truth is, he was in the midst of what we would call revival. And the enemy showed up. Prepare yourselves. When we talk about these things, the enemy shows up. Now, this is not a fear tactic. This is to warn you and let you know that who you are in Christ means that you can take a stand against the enemy. When he shows up in your family, when he shows up in your workplace, when he shows up in your church, you can stand against him. And you can defeat him. Collectively, we have more power than all, just this body, than all the demons. Hallelujah. Is that exciting or not? Yes, it is to me. Yes. When the children of Israel entered the promised land, one of the things that happened when they encountered they went in to spy out the land is they saw the giants or the Nephilim that were in the land. That's the enemy's tactic. You see, he always comes and tries to scare us with size and roar and you know, all these things that can be kind of scary if we're not careful. And it scared the children of Israel. And they were afraid to go in against those giants, those Nephilim, the Anak and the Riphim. There was one guy in the land, before they actually went into the land, king of Og, who was a giant. He was probably somewhere, his bed was 13 and a half to 14 feet long and 6 feet wide. So he was probably somewhere between 10 and 11 feet tall. Now that's incredible. And it scared them. But God said, "Do not be afraid of him, because I'm going to defeat him." And I say the same thing to you this morning in regards to the enemy that we have. We're going to look at tactics. We're going to look at the enemy has schemes. That's what the Word of God says. The schemes of the devil, or the wiles. It says wiles, but it means schemes. He's scheming all the time, trying to figure out ways that he can defeat you. And if you allow him, he'll enter in. So I'm not entering you. I mean, he'll enter into your situation. It'll bring havoc. That's the kind of enemy that we serve, or that we're fighting against. We serve a mighty God, but that's the kind of enemy that we're fighting against. His desire. So what's it mean for the enemy, the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil? It's traps that he sets for you. The word there actually means snare. And the enemy has set up snares that he's going to use to try to trap you and trap your family, trap your loved ones. How many have seen the snares of the enemy? Glory. It just happens in your life as we go along. But if we're aware that that's a snare of the enemy, guess what? We can overcome. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. So the bottom line is this. I don't care where they came from. I know they are. I know that they exist. And they exist in such a way that they are trying their best to steal, to kill, and to destroy God's people. And when we become aware of that, we become more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We have the weapons that we need to defeat him. I'm not going to tell you exactly what happened. Before I left here last Sunday, I started talking about these things a couple weeks ago. Before I left here last Sunday, the enemy let me know that he was not happy. He didn't want us talking about this stuff. He doesn't want us to be aware of his tactics. He doesn't want us to be more than conquerors. We're already positioned that way with Christ. We're already positioned as the right hand. When God looks at us, he doesn't see our now. He sees the beginning or the end from the beginning. So he already sees us seated at his right hand in a rightful position. So all we have to do is begin to walk in that authority. To walk as the kings, as the priests that he has called us to be. To be the people that he wants us to be. Our God is a mighty, awesome God. I say these things to you because I want us as a church to go out and take the territory that the enemy has stolen. I want us to take back the things, the family that he's stolen from us, the things that God intended for his people. You see, he gave that promised land to Abraham. But who inhabited it for many years? It wasn't Abraham. It was the Canaanites. It was the Rephaim. It was the Anakites, Ammonites, and all the people that were motivated by the enemy. But when the children of God began to recognize who they were, how they could go in and take that land, they went in with power, they went in with authority, and they took back what God had given to Abraham. That's what he's called the church to do. Rise up. Move out. Let's do it in Jesus' name. Stand with me. Our enemy presents himself as a giant. But what did David do to a giant? The giant said all kinds of things to him. Said nasty things about his God. Then he told David, I'm going to take you and eat you up. I think he probably meant that. He was probably a cannibal. He's going to grind up his bones and eat him. David said, not if my God has anything to do with it. Amen. I don't care what the enemy presents himself to us. Our God is mighty. Our God is strong. Sometimes you have to do battle. You got to get on your knees. You've got to worship. You've got to use the weapons of our warfare that cause us to be victorious. David had to physically go out against that giant. And you know what he did? He took the stone and he hit him between the eyes. But the Bible gives an indication that that didn't necessarily kill him. He was stunned. He fell down. So David went over and picked up his own sword, Goliath's own sword, and cut his head off. Listen, this is a lesson for us. Don't just stun the enemy. Get rid of him. Cut his head off. Get him out of your family. Get him out of your household. Get him out of your life. As we go through this, I'm going to be talking about some things that you may need to look at in your life and in your household, that you're allowing the enemy to come in and have his way. Stop it. I want you to stop. You don't have to stop it for me. I want you to stop it for you. I want you to stop opening the door for the enemy to come in and have his way in your family. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, you're an awesome and mighty God. I praise you. I thank you, Lord, for this service this morning. As you guide and direct your people, Lord. I believe we are more than conquerors. I believe we're going to overcome. Lord, we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. I believe your return is soon, but we're going to stand until you come. So we thank you, Lord, that you give us weapons, you give us strength, you give us one another, you give us the power that we need to move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. If you'd like to have prayer for healing, please come up. I'm going to ask the prayer warriors to come up. They'll pray with you.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.